You are listening to the Eternity Church Podcast. For location and service times, please visit us online at myeternitydm.com.
If you're new here, my name is Jesse, and I love my life, and it's my hope that you'll love yours this year as well. We've got a gift for you out there in the lobby, so if you're new, run out to the lobby after the service. Go to the Connection Lounge on the, I believe it's the East Wall. Yep, got my directions right. And our team will be out there to give you this welcome box. It's just our way of saying thanks for coming to church. We love you, and we hope to see you next Saturday or next Sunday at church again. Sound good? Fantastic. Hey, just a couple of quick housekeepings before we get on with an awesome day-to-day. Our building, things are moving ahead. Things are looking good. We even started to do a bit of work upstairs, and we're going to do a bit of work in the kids' room this week. And so that's going fantastic. We're really excited about what God has done, what God has provided, and what you have said yes to God and just been faithful in your giving. And just so you know, we do still need about another $40,000-ish, and then we are good to get her done. Someone say, I love that Midwestern way of saying get it done. Someone say, get her done. Get her done. Fantastic. So welcome to church. I'm super glad you're here. And it's okay to love your life. Can I get an amen? Amen. You believe that? Good. Hey, I want to pray for you. I want to pray for your year. If you want to receive what I want to pray today, a blessing of God on your year and your life, would you lift up your hand, close your eyes, and get ready to receive from God today? Are you ready? Father, we thank you for everything that you have done for us and that you continue to do for us. Right from the beginning of creation, you made it all and you gave it all for us. And still, you're in our lives today. And you made it so immensely obvious that we're important to you. This year, please help us to see the wonder in your creation and the wonder in our creation. Help us to feel your power every day. Help us to grow stronger and closer to you. Help us to better understand your written word and your spoken word. God, we love you and we want to appreciate all that you've done for us. Help us to find a love for this gift of God called life. And we asked all that in the name of Jesus Christ. And all those who agree, shout it really loud. Amen. Praise God. God is good. Hey, I know, you know, we're talking about love your life. And I know some of us in here who have read like one verse of the Bible and maybe not the rest of it might be like, yeah, but in John 12:25 says not to love this life or you'll lose it, but if we hate this life then we will live it. And so this whole sermon, so this whole year, we're all going to go burn if we do this. Can I tell you what it's talking about? Are you ready for that? It's talking about not loving the world that we live in. It's not talking about not loving the world we live in. It's not talking about hating life. It's not talking about not loving the people, hating cars or houses or hating food and hating people who don't agree with us. Come on, God made this place. God made the earth and everything in it and told us to subdue it. Come on now. He's not talking about hating this place. It's talking about not falling in love with the ways of the world. It's talking about not falling in love with how the world operates. Specifically though, even more specifically than the ways of the world, it's talking about not falling in love with life without Jesus. See, that scripture says those who love their lives will lose it, and those who hate their lives will gain eternal life. See, that's talking about that moment where we go from living life without Jesus and then giving our lives to Jesus, which scripture calls being what? Born again. See, the old life dies and the new life arrives. And when we decide and when we come to the understanding that we hate life without Jesus, we hate life with a big God-sized hole in our hearts, at that moment, we receive life. Amen. But if we will live forever loving life without Jesus, we will lose our lives. That's what the scripture's talking about. I've read it front to back, top to bottom, right to left, bottom to top. That's what it's talking about. You've got to read that in context of the whole scripture and understand what is this talking about. So I don't want to fall in love with the ways of the world. See, the ways of the world says to hate your enemy. But our way is to show love to a person who's been an enemy to us. It's the opposite to the ways of the world, am I right? See, the world says, do whatever you want. If it feels good, just do it. Whatever makes you happy. Who knows that not everything that makes you happy is good for you? Yeah? Not everything that makes you feel good is going to bless your marriage. Can I get an amen? See, the world says, if it feels good, do it. But God says, if it's righteous and if it's holy, do it. Amen. Now, here's the thing. We're not going to make that every time. I don't know about you, but sometimes when it goes against God's ways and it feels good, sometimes I just do it. Anybody else? So sometimes I live there, but I'm not in love and I'm not desiring to stay in the ways of the world. And thank God that His grace is sufficient to cover my mistakes. Amen. Furthermore, even more than that, as I fall in love with life and what God has given me, furthermore, I'm not going to love the earth itself more than the Creator Himself. But if you spend your year, 2018, growing closer to Jesus, asking Him to make you more like Him in your godliness, whether in the midst of your greatest failures or great success, as you love Him more than this world, you will indeed begin to love life. Amen. The more you fall in love with Him, no matter what's going on in your world, the more you will love your life. Because when you've got a hope that can't be dampened, and when you've got a hope that can't be taken, and when you've got a hope that can't be destroyed, it doesn't matter what's happening all around us. We're going to love the fact that we're alive and we have a gift in our life called Jesus Christ. Amen. And the power of God that can never be taken. You know, it's one of my great convictions. See, I have a few great convictions. I have lots of convictions and a ton of opinions. But it's one of my great convictions that God wants you to love and enjoy your life. God does care if you're unhappy. God does care. And God does, in fact, want you to be happy. It breaks my heart to see Christians preaching or teaching or saying or even living in this idea that God has created them for misery. I want you to breathe a sigh of relief today. You are not dishonoring God by loving your life. People have misunderstood and misrepresented these minute scriptures without reading them in the context of the whole verses, and they've misrepresented, and then they live in this sourness. This idea that God is fantastic, and because God's so great, I hate my life. It doesn't even make sense. See, I love math. It's one of my favorite things. And 1 + 1 doesn't seem to equal 2 right there. It doesn't seem to work for some reason. God is so great. God has been so great that I love the gift that He gave. The greatest gift He gave you was your life and soul itself. Amen? So you're not dishonoring God when you love your life. You're not dishonoring God by loving your life. Do not love your old life. Do not romanticize your old life without Christ. But this isn't a problem for most of you, because you've already given up the old life that you hated and became a new creation in Jesus Christ. Amen? Didn't y'all? Didn't y'all, right? And so now that we've dealt with, killed, drowned in the baptismal tank, so to speak, the old you and the new you has come alive, now I'm telling you, love your life. You want reason? You want reason? Good. Do y'all want reason over here? I don't think I got a single yes from the whole section, right? This section and that, they're all like, we want to love our life. Y'all are like, you better convince me, son. Well, come on. Do y'all want some reason over here? Fantastic. All right. Come on now. God has never left you and God will never leave you. God has never left you. God will never leave you. Hebrews 13:5 says, keep your life free from the love of money. Pause. Different sermon. Sermonette, mini sermon. You ready for the mini sermon right now? Oh, money's the root of all evil. It is not. Come on now. Money is not the root. The love of money. the love of, the obsession with, the love. I love money more than people. I love money more than God. I love money more than my family. That is evil. That is evil. Having a little bit of pocket money, that ain't evil, friend. But the love of money is unpause, move on. And be content with what you have. For he has said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. This is good news, amen. The word content that's in there for the section on the left, the word content is peaceful happiness. Peaceful happiness. Why can I have a peaceful happiness? For God has said to me, I will never leave you and I will never abandon you. If you've been hurt in 2017 or any year prior or yesterday or even this morning, if you've been hurt, He is still with you. He is still with you. If everyone walked away from you in 2017, He did not. He did not. If they took your kids away from you, He cannot ever be taken away from you. Remember, I sang it last week. I got something that the world can't give and the world can't take it away. Amen. If they took your kids, if they took your family, He cannot be taken from you. If your wife left you, if your husband left you, God stuck with you. And God will stay with you. If you made a mistake, a big mistake, if you made the biggest mistake of your entire life, the worst mistake, and people heard about it, and they talked about it, and they abandoned you, He knew. It's not like He's sticking around and it's like, man, I hope He doesn't find out what I did last summer. We don't want Him to know. No, He knew. He knew. In fact, He knew before He became your friend that you would do it and became your friend anyhow. How about that? Before I made my worst mistakes in my life, God said, I'm going to make that boy a pastor in Des Moines, Iowa. What? Before I ever even did it, He knew and said, yeah, that guy, that messed up son of a gun from a dairy farm in Tatura. Everyone in Des Moines like, where the heck is Tatura? Who cares? He had a plan, amen. He knew, and He did not abandon you. You know what else? Neither did we. Sometimes people come into my office and they bulldust me. You know, like they talk bulldust at me. They make stuff up, you know, like they tell me stories, you know. Like this is why this happened, you know, because of this. And they think I believe them because I still let them come here. No, I can see right through that bulldust. But I want you here anyway. We know what you did. Come on now, you aren't that good at hiding it all. You're a believer. That deceit thing's not working for you. We know what you did, and we want you here anyway. He didn't leave you. We didn't leave you. We ain't going to leave you. Someone say amen. If you screwed up your life, if you went from rich to poor, if you messed up your business, if you messed up your relationships, I want you to know today that there is no need for penance. Penance. Do you know what penance is? Penance is this thing. I believe it comes from the Catholic Church, and I love you if you're Catholic, and we love the Catholics, but this one thing, it's messed up. There's no need for penance. This penance thing is where I've messed up my life. So I'm going to whip myself. Literally punish myself because of what I did. And they get these whips and they whack their backs, blood, they cut them, they hurt themselves. They're doing what's called penance. Have you heard that said before? You need to do some penance, they say. I want to tell you right now, if you screwed up your life, your business, your relationships, there's no need for penance. Why? Because penance is sin. Penance is sin, my friend. Doing penance is sinful. Penance says, I can pay for this myself. I don't need Jesus. I'll pay for this mistake. I'll pay for this right now. Penance is sin, my friend. But I know how the world works. Man, the world gets mad when someone makes a big mistake and then they see them out there the next day having fun. People get mad at that, don't they? Right? You see it on the news. Some dude just embezzled all the money from us. You know, like, we'll take that money. Hey, Eternity Church, go invest the money with us. And so we do. We won't. But we did in the story. And then they took it all. The world wants that guy to burn. And the next day, if we see him out playing golf, someone in here going to get out their sniper rifle and take him out. Right? That's what the world wants to do. You hear it on the news, this company, that company, the CEO, and then he's out playing golf. You're like, you should be burning in pity and shame. That's what the world wants people to do. I want to tell you right now, there is no need for penance. I'm here to tell you, you don't have to do penance choosing to hate your life or choosing not to enjoy your life. You don't have to punish yourself. Believe you me, the devil wants to do that on his own, but Jesus is stepping in to protect you from that. If you just embezzled millions of dollars, I'll play golf with you. Better be at the nicest stinking golf course in the country. But I'll play golf with you, yeah? If you cheated on your wife, I'll play golf with you that afternoon. Or even take a selfie, put it on Instagram. If you got caught looking at porn and everybody found out, I'll sit with you in church. You can sit next to me. Lift your hands and show the world that even in the middle of your deepest, darkest sins, you can worship the Savior. Amen. When else are we more aware of our need for a Savior than when we're caught in the middle of the worst sin of our lives? You better have your arms reached out and sit next to me. Amen. Come on now. He will never leave you nor forsake you. And get this. His heart for you has not changed. It has not increased. It has not decreased due to your failure. He remains constant in your time of trial. You're allowed to love your life, my friend, and enjoy it too, even in the middle of your greatest failure. So how much more in the middle of great reward and success, right? Man, how much more then too? Let me encourage you like Paul encouraged the Romans. Rejoice in hope. 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 Be patient in tribulation and be constant in prayer. He's always interceding for you. He is with you. Take heart. Have joy. Your God is strong. Amen. Another reason to love your life is that Scripture gives you permission to enjoy yourself. Not just to have life, but to enjoy life. Ecclesiastes 5 says, moreover, when God gives someone wealth and possessions and the ability to enjoy them, or another version, the health to enjoy them, to accept their lot and be happy in their toil, this is a gift from God. They seldom reflect on the days of their lives because God has kept them occupied the gladness of heart. It is a good thing to have wealth and health and enjoy it. It's a good thing to enjoy it. Later on, it goes on to say that those who have it but don't enjoy it are a waste. A waste. How about that? Do some penance with that. What a waste. What a waste. Those who have it and don't enjoy it are wasting what God has given them. See, I have a friend who never used to go see movies. I think he still might not. He wouldn't see movies. Not because he thought movies were sin. See, I love movies. I got no problem with it. I'm going to see a movie. I'm going to see a movie with you this afternoon. We'll walk out of church and get straight in there and watch Jumanji. Come on now. It's the funniest movie I've seen in so long. That was awesome, all right? Wifey and I, we're going to go back, all right? But I want to tell you right now, this guy, he thought that it wasn't that movies were sin. He thought that having fun is a wrongful indulgence of the flesh. That's messed up. That's messed up. Like anything's good, it's bad? No. If it's bad, it's bad. If it's bad, it's bad. See, this friend of mine would not spend any money. He had millions, millions and millions and millions of dollars. And he was afraid of wasting what his grandfather gave him. He had millions. He wouldn't spend a cent. We'd go out for dinner. He'd leave before the check come. We're paying for his dinner. not because he was stingy, but he was afraid of dishonoring the gift his father gave him, his grandfather gave him. He drove an old beater of a car. It's a beat up old thing, rust and all. It was a Mitsubishi. We called it the bits are missing. He was certain to make sure that everybody knew how much he hates this car. He always said he wanted to honor his grandfather's gift. So he did what the wicked servant did in the parable of the talents, and he buried it in the ground. He buried it in the ground. This is what the writer of Ecclesiastes goes on to say a few verses later. Sickening, sickening, and what was the other word? Meaningless. Isn't that unreal? To have all that, a gift from God, and to do nothing with it, not enjoy it. It says to not enjoy it is sickening and meaningless. Some of us are like my friend. I was like him to a degree. I remember when I could first afford a nice car, but didn't want to get one because I was worried what people might say about the pastor who drives a nice car. I could afford it. This is way back. I could afford the nice car, but I was worried what people might say about a pastor who has a nice car. And it wasn't like super fancy. It was fancy for me because up to that point, all my cars had either vinyl seats or vinyl, you get in it and your butt burns in Australia because every day's a hot day and every Aussie has seat lines on the back of their legs, all right? Or it was cloth. Man, this car had leather seats. Now, I had a choice to make. Help cement their bad theology or live in the blessing that I had found in my life. But who cares about cars and things? Let's talk about the heart of the issue right here. Don't bury your life in the sand for fear of what others might think. Whether it be possessions or attitudes or a smile on your face. Don't bury a smile on your face because others think you need to be doing penance right now. Don't bury the gift of God in the sand because of what others might think. God wants you to enjoy your life. The day before you messed up, the day you messed up, and the day afterwards. That's why Jesus came, so you wouldn't have to be punished in hell for what you did. Amen. He didn't create you so he could watch you hurt, watch you cry. He's not some psycho who gets off on seeing his kids in pain. THS, come take those kids away. Come on, never let what people might say stop you from living in what God did say. Amen. Let's not live in what they might think and live in what God did do. Amen. Now, before we get to my last point, see, I'm going to talk a little bit about, not wanting all that, And so before we get to that point, I need to make something real clear to you. Are you ready for this? There's nothing wrong with having tons of money. Did you hear me? Okay. There's nothing wrong. I need you to understand this before we get to the last point. I'm not dissing people with money. You understand this? And I'm not saying that you can't want some too. There's nothing wrong with having tons of money. Nothing wrong with having billions. Billions and billions. Nothing wrong with having money, all right? Nothing at all. In fact, if you do, I recommend you buy us all a Maserati and pay for our church extension. That'd be wicked. That'd be awesome, all right? Get that done. Get it done today. But there's nothing wrong with having tons of money. But you know what? There's nothing wrong with having very little money. Nothing wrong with that. Now, it's weird to want nothing. It's weird to go, man, I wish I was broke. Like that, honestly, I find that a weird attitude. Man, I wish my business would go bankrupt. That'd be awesome. Now, that's weird. But there's nothing wrong with having very little money. Nothing wrong with having tons and tons of money. Neither is more godly than the other. Do we understand that? I hate that. When you see a church, it's got to be, oh, y'all got to be poor to go there. Y'all got to be rich to go there. Come on, you just got to be a person, all right, who needs a savior. Everybody needs a savior, rich, poor, and in between. Now, there's nothing wrong with hoping to do better. Not at all. Nothing wrong with wanting to achieve more, especially if the motivation is to give more to the kingdom and have more godly influence in the world. But your love for life And your sense of personal value should come from who you have, not what you don't have. Did you hear me? Your love for life and your sense of personal value must come from who you have, not what you don't have. Ecclesiastes 6:9 even says what you have should come from that too. Enjoy what you have rather than chasing after what you don't have. Just dreaming about nice things is meaningless, like chasing the wind. Enjoy what you have rather than being obsessed and desiring what you don't have. Just dreaming about nice things, it's talking specifically about lust and covetousness. Don't let your joy or your happiness or even your thankfulness to God be derived from what you don't have. God, I'll be happy if. God, I'll praise you if. Man, I love that song from a few years ago by Hillsong. Even when it hurts like hell, I'll praise you. Come on, my joy, my satisfaction, my hope comes from who and what I have, not what I want and don't have. Amen. Man, some people live their whole lives like that. Like, oh man, if I have that, then I'll love my wife. If she looked like this, then I'd love my wife. If we had a house like that, then I'd love my wife. What? Come on now. Come on now. You got to have enough joy with what you have right now. You have Jesus. You know that? You have salvation now and forever, amen. You have security for all of eternity, not just the place, but the time frame, secure forever. You have a church that loves you, no matter whether you're winning or losing, we love you. You have friends. If you don't have friends, email us. Someone will take you to lunch this week. You have friends in this place. You know, after those big things, there's also some other less important but still good and really fun things in your life too. You have a job. Well, that's not good. Yes, it is. Well, it's minimum. Some people don't have a job. You have a job. Be thankful. The scriptures say it is a good thing to work with your hands and do something. That means have a job. Hey, I'm grateful I got a job. Amen. You have a job. You got some money. It might be billions. It might be millions. It might be millions of cents. I don't know. But will you have some money? You have a dog. Be grateful. Hopefully you don't, but maybe you have a cat. His grace is sufficient for you. A couple of years ago, Steph Keller's cat went missing for like a few weeks. Everybody's like, Jesse, did you kill her cat? I'm like, no, not her cat. No, I'm just... Move on. Move on. You got pants on. That's good news. Well, I can see the front row does anyway. I hope you all do. If you don't, get out when the lights go off and fix it, all right? We got some upstairs. We'll hook you up. You got stuff. I'm not saying that the things you have should be your entire source of joy, you know, material things, but don't let the devil measure your life by what you don't have. Why? Measure your life by who you have and what God's already done for you, amen, and be grateful and thankful. Yes, I am convicted and convinced that God does indeed, yes, want to bless you with more. Absolutely. Like the parable of the talents, take care of, appreciate, be grateful for what you have, find joy in it, and God will bless you with more. But if the more is the only thing, if the more is the only thing that will bring you a sense of value or worth, you will be as miserable in the more as you are in the now. That is the truth. You'll be even more miserable in the more than you are in the now, if you're waiting for more to find hope or joy in your life. Can I have the band come back up? I'm about done. Fired up a little. Love your life today. Amen. Love your life today. Stop waiting for the next big break before God gets any praise. Dream and pray about the future, yes. Do that every day. Step out in faith when God speaks. But right now, live now. Do something now. Do something this week for no other purpose but to enjoy what you have been given and what you have worked for. Now I know some of y'all will be like, I can't afford to go on a date night. Then we will pay. Promise you. If anyone in this church who attends this church, don't, you know, like Facebook the whole world, like, we might have to sell the building then. But if anyone who attends this church, you're like, you know what, I can't afford a date night, then come and tell us. We'll pay for your date night. I said this last night, and afterwards two people said, actually, we will pay. I'm like, sweet, cool. Sweet, isn't that cool? I'm telling you right now, you can go and have a date night. Now, don't come to us and tell us what date night's going to be. Well, Pastor Jesse, we're going to go to 801 Chop House, and we're going to go parachuting, and, you know, it's going to be about $1,800. You got that? No. What we're going to do, we'll tell you what you're doing for date night, all right? And then you'll go and do that, all right? Sound good? But you can ask us for a date night, and we'll give it to you, all right? Amen? We love you, all right? Do something to have fun. Enjoy what you've been given, and enjoy what you've worked hard for. Husbands, as we all stand up, I want to release you of something right now. Wives too, but this is something that's been put primarily on husbands over history. And I have even said things and even preached things in the past that I want to release people from. Long time ago, but husbands, you need to understand that your wife cannot find her fullness of joy in you. And for a long time in church, we've taught that when you get married, that you are, you know, that it's now your entire mission and job is only her happiness and joy. And you know what? You can't do that. I can't do it. You know why? I'm not Jesus. I'm not God. I cannot be my wife's fullness of joy. I can't do that. We have to find that in Jesus Christ. See, when all those around us are not happy, or they're depressed, or they have PTSD, or whatever's going on in people's lives, you know, we can still love our lives in the midst of not only our own pain, but those around us too. And what happens when we think that we are the source of someone's fullness of joy is that when someone has depression or their own bad decisions or just an issue in their life that they're working through, that when they're not entirely happy then, we think that's because of us and then we can't have any joy too. We're like, well, she ain't happy. You know what? I can't fix depression. I can't. You can't. We can't. God is your source of fullness and joy. God is your husband's source of fullness and joy. God is your wife's source of fullness and joy. God is your source of fullness and joy. Now we care and we pray for and we have a heart for and we love our spouses and the people in our lives, but we pray that the source would overflow in their lives. Amen? And we point them there too. Let not another person this year choose for you the level of joy or love in your life, whether it be based on your mistakes and they say you should be sad or because people around you are sad. Don't let another person ever again dictate the level of joy and fullness in your life. Live it and live it in the full in the name of Jesus. No one's opinions or judgment is going to consume me this year. I'm living in a fullness of joy of a Savior who will never leave me and never forsake me. And He wants me to love my life. So church, go with His word, not people's words. It's my prayer that in 2018, that as you chase after Him and all that He has for you, you would find joy and hope right there in Jesus' name.
Thanks for listening to the Eternity Church podcast. For more episodes, you can find us on iTunes or at eternitydm.podbean.com.